was hoping for an indication. I was seeking higher elevation. I've been shaking, waking in the nightlight. I've been breaking, hiding from the spotlight. The more I stray, the less I fear. And the more I reach, the more I fade away. The darkness right in front of me, oh, it's calling out and I won't walk away.
Spring break is over, and unfortunately, Will Sam and Sam in the Morning is back. I know, you're disappointed. You're trying to hide your excitement with disappointment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Will Sam and Sam in the Morning is here, once again, every Tuesday and Thursday. I'm Sam Anthony, alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz.
Hello.
And William Robert Camilleri. Well, that was quite the moan there.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I was, you know, Will was in North Carolina.
I was.
During the off season, so it was a little cold.
It was a little cold, and just about everything was closed. So
that was that'll happen.
Oh, nice.
In, you know, March.
Like literally, one of the restaurants opened one of the days we were there for the season, so we were right on that border of.
Yeah, you know, I wondered why you got that place so cheap, and then it realized to me that...
It's out of season.
Yeah. But hey, it was still fun, right?
It jumps by about, I think it was like $1,500 a week.
Wow.
For that house in season. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't afford that on our budget.
No.
Yeah, so, you know, we have an exciting show for you today. But before we get into all this RMU college action, I'm going to send it over to our buddy Sam Ferentz. He's got a very exciting topic. He will not tell us what the topic is.
We don't know.
So we're learning just as you're learning here.
All we know is he believes it to be an unpopular opinion.
Oh, this is going to be a very unpopular opinion, and I might get blacklisted for this.
All right, let us know.
All right, real quick, like, did RMU Media do something to the microphones? Because this sounds a lot nicer than before.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did some work. Joe Hale is the man, by the way.
Nice.
Ray Zapparoni, got to give some love to those guys.
All right. And Google Chrome and ResNet isn't working, so I can't pull up my statistics. So I'm going to like fly a little blind here. But
you can also look it up on your phone.
Well, yeah, but that takes too long. All right. So NFL free agency is upon us. Yes? And
do I know what he's going to say? I think so.
The NFL draft is upon us.
Oh, no,
and with that... there are going to be some blockbuster trades have already happened. You know, people are dropping people to free up cap space. Richard Sherman was just released.
Signed by the 49ers.
Yeah. Aqib Talib was released, signed by the Rams. I mean, there have been some big moves going on.
Sammy Watkins this morning went to the Chiefs.
Going to the Chiefs.
Oh, I did not see that.
Allen Robinson to the Bears. Case Keenum to the Broncos. Yeah, you know,
Jake Arrieta to the Phillies.
Phillies going to win the World Series.
I mean, things are just going to start unfolding. The Steelers are eliminating some cap space because they're now over their cap by, I believe, $5 million as of now. But it begs the question, you know, draft is coming up.
Oh.
As a Steelers fan, I'm looking at the team and, you know, how can we get better? And I think the one way we can get exponentially better in both the short term and the long term.
Oh, God.
What?
Just say whatever you're going
to say. Trade Le'Veon Bell.
Why?
Not only trade Le'Veon.
Why?
Trade Le'Veon Bell to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, because what are you going to get for Le'Veon Bell? That's
You're going to get the number one overall draft pick plus so much more. Okay, here are my reasons, and hear me out. The Steelers are currently over the cap space. They're not going to be the salary cap. They're not going to be able to give Le'Veon Bell the max contract that he so desires for a good bit. That franchise tag of $14.44 million put them over by, I believe, $9 million. So they're over their cap space. They have to get rid of it. And they will to releasing players. They were releasing Mike Mitchell. I think they were talking about letting Arthur Motes go. But long term, I think this is the best situation.
Why?
Because, all right, so, and it's a win-win for both sides. So the Browns are likely going to take Saquon Barkley. They traded for Tyrod Taylor, Jarvis Landry. Who else did they trade for? It's escaping me. But so they're building the foundation. They have a decent offensive line. They just haven't had anyone to hide behind it. So signing Le'Veon Bell will not only give him, you know, running back to hide behind that offensive line, but they have the cap space to give him the max deal that he wanted. Kind of like if Kirk Cousins wanted, you know, a max deal, he'd go to the Browns. Saquon Barkley, he had more reps than Luke Kuechly, faster 40 than Ezekiel Elliott, and a higher reach than Odell Beckham. So because
all these things then define that you're going to be better than Le'Veon Bell.
Hold on.
Oh my word.
I was going to look up the comparison between him and Le'Veon Bell at the combine, but my computer wasn't working last night and it's not working now. But you know, Le'Veon Bell, he's been plagued by injuries. I'm not giving that as an excuse, but he's hit it. So for lack of a better term,
he's hit it.
Yeah,
is that a term?
He's hit it. A phrase. He's hit.
I don't know if that's
what is it.
Yeah.
He's hit the rough and tough of the NFL.
Yeah, but the rough and tough is behind him. Okay, that was 2 years ago.
Okay, but Saquon Barkley, I think, will be a very good prospect.
Mm-mm.
And with the right coaching, with the right team, you know, if he goes to the Steelers, I think we'll give him 5 years or 4 or 5 years under that rookie contract. By that time, Ben will be gone. They'll have that cap space. To give Saquon a long-term deal. I think it's a win-win situation for both of them. I think you don't think Saquon Barkley is as good as I think he is.
Well, not only that do I not think he's as good as you say he is, because, again, nobody was talking about how great Saquon Barkley was until he did the combine. Like, what about his body of work, which was either really phenomenal or really terrible? He would have a game where he had 130 rushing yards in the second half, but have -1 rushing yard in the first half. He would have games where he just didn't show up. Inconsistent. But then, all right, so let's say that they coach him and he ends up becoming a very consistent running back. All right? Roethlisberger's gone. You just missed that whole window. Because the window for the Pittsburgh Steelers is closing right now. Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
So why would you not just say, hey, we're going to invest in Bell right now and we're going to make a run for the Super Bowl?
Well, then when it all falls apart, who do you have to fall back on?
You rebuild, because you're going to need to rebuild anyway when you don't have a quarterback. Who are they going to put in, Dobbs or Jones? Doesn't make sense.
Well, when...
So who are they going to get for quarterback?
Then they draft a quarterback. It's like a recycling.
Yeah, so it's you know what? Look at me. You're an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really easy to just draft a quarterback, right?
I mean,
but how long did it take you to get from, you know?
Yeah, let's
see. Donovan McNabb.
When did Donovan McNabb retire? Like 2010.
But how? Like, when was he like irrelevant?
When was he irrelevant? Like 2008.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the exact.
So realistically,
entire, 2 years beforehand.
So realistically, to find your next like franchise long-term QB, it took 10 years.
Essentially 10 years, because we went there was Jeff Garcia for a little bit, then Kevin Cobb for a little bit. Then I don't even know.
Well, there was Vic.
Oh, right, Mike Vic. He was there, and he wasn't that bad.
He was really good that 1 year, but he wasn't going to be a franchise guy.
No, because he was old.
It was a filler until they found someone, which...
Then they thought was Nick Foles, but he kind of sputtered out a little bit. And then finally, after years...
Well, you don't forget Sam Bradford.
Right, yeah. How could I forget Sam Bradford? By the way, did you know I saw his last game as an Eagle?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because it was the preseason game against the Steelers.
Yeah, but how many of those guys have you drafted?
I don't know.
I don't think any of them.
I'm talking about the draft. I'm
yeah, because you know, again, because it's that easy to just go and draft a quarterback. Do you want to ask the Cleveland Browns?
The Eagles
yeah, well, Eagles that's completely different.
No, it's not. It's the not Browns, completely different. The Browns are, there are so many teams that have had a hard time drafting a quarterback. The only time that anyone's drafted a quarterback and it's almost been an absolute guarantee is when you get, like, the first overall draft pick and it's Carson Peyton Wentz. Manning. Yeah, I mean, like, ask him, how did RG3 do?
He has his own personalized ambulance.
That it's the entire proof of that drafting a quarterback is not that easy. Like, you think the Steelers are just going to go into the draft and go, oh, yeah, because if it was that easy, they would have found some guy second round, picked him up, and developed him for when Roethlisberger retires. But instead, they're picking these fourth-rounders who they're just kind of hoping maybe sort of kind of turn into someone, and you have Landry Jones and Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs did not even suit up for games behind Landry Jones.
I brought my opinion.
I disagree with you in every way.
I think it's funny how triggered Sam Anthony has said.
No, because you know what? You know what? No, because you know what everyone gives the argument? There's this statistic that comes out, and they go, the Steelers have scored as many points per game with Le'Veon Bell as they have without Le'Veon
Bell.
Yeah,
I think that's garbage.
It's such a blown-up statistic because there's so much that goes into offense, which includes a really great O-line, a really great quarterback, but at the same time, like, you forget that Bell expands that offense because of the way that not only is he talented on the run, but as a pass catcher and making plays in the open field, he makes it so that guys like Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Martavis Bryant are better because you can't just invest in covering Antonio Brown because then the Steelers are just going to go, all right, we're just going to give it to Bell and bust it up the gut because he's going to be able to make something happen there because we have the offensive line to support that.
You could say that statistic is a lot like plus-minus in hockey where it's there and for some reason people make a big deal out of it.
Yep.
But it really means nothing.
Yep.
Because, like, honestly, I mean, even as an outsider who, honestly, I could care less what the Steelers do, I think it would be interesting just because it would, like, make everybody here probably, like, lose their minds. But
it'd be like Fleury leaving all over again.
Yeah, but except, like, in a real trade.
Yeah, well.
Like, you see that, and it's like, okay, they score the same amount of points, that's still winning games. Like, that doesn't, okay, they're scoring the same amount of points because that's all you have to do. It's not like you need to go out and score this exuberant amount of points because you have this one player. Like, as long as you're winning games, who cares?
Yep.
How many times can you franchise tag a person?
As many times as you want. Really, it just becomes so expensive that you can't afford it. Like, if they tried to franchise tag Bell next year, it'd be probably like $21 million. So it becomes a point where it's just better to sign the contract. So typically, the most someone will get tagged is twice. Like Kirk Cousins.
Why he got tagged twice, I don't know.
Because the Redskins didn't want to commit to him. But that's they didn't true. Have any better option.
That's also
so it's
true.
Like, all right, bite the bullet for a year. And then, you know, they got Alex Smith, which I think was a good move still. I stand by that move. All right, Sam. Any more preposterous thoughts you want to give me?
Was that your big thing you wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. When he said it to me and wouldn't tell me.
It definitely
me,
came to him in the middle of the night, and he was like, yes, this is the key. Like, I'll become the next Kevin Colbert. I will lead the Steelers to.
Well, when he wouldn't tell me, I figured it was something like about a Philly team that he was like going to destroy me on.
Yeah. But on a brief side note, Phillies are looking good.
Phillies are looking good.
With Arrieta, they've bumped themselves up to at least a .500 team.
And they DFA'd Tommy Joseph, which I'm perfectly okay with.
Yeah, I think everyone's okay with that. and
worst four spot in history.
Yeah. But hey, the Pirates have Corey Dickerson.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
He was an All-Star.
Oh.
I know. I didn't know either.
Keeter
last
Morris.
Year.
Oh.
Yeah, well, now he's in Pittsburgh, so that'll be gone.
It's pretty funny because there's this one of the Philly sports accounts that I follow, not as major, like, writing wise as some of the others. The head admin of the account would get drunk and at Jake Arrieta about things he wanted to do with him when he got to Philly.
Oh,
and people are like, no, he's not coming. Like, oh, Jake Arrieta would never go to the Phillies. And then, like, everyone's like adding this guy, like, we're crediting you with this deal because you've bothered him so much into coming to Philadelphia. Because literally, like, it would be every single night. He'd be like, hey, we're going out to eat at Jake Arrieta. It would be great if you came with us.
Oh, my.
Like,
wow.
Like, stuff like that.
I love it. Oh, I love everything about that. All right. So speaking of Philadelphia, the Rubber Moors Colonials will be heading to Drexel on Friday to play the Drexel Dragons in the WNIT tournament. Because unfortunately, they fell at St. Francis.
They were not invited.
They got Kovached.
She did
put up 29 points, and then a lot of really great defensive stops at the end of the game. Couple good flops.
A few good flops. Harrison beat some people.
She's so scary.
Terrifying human being.
Also a monster on defense. That full court press at the end was incredible by the Red Flash.
We were leading going into the fourth quarter. We were up by a point.
No, we weren't.
No, we weren't.
We were down by 5. It was 49-44.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was tied at halftime. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Maybe.
Yeah, 26-26 at halftime, 49-44 at the end of the third, and then finally 66-56 to wrap it up. Again, Robert Morris hung in there, but unfortunately just weren't really able to do anything with it.
The only person who was able to make a three all night was Jocelyn Jones, and I can't believe those words.
Career high, 21 points.
My mouth. Like, what?
Jocelyn Jones had a game.
She went, it was like 4 for 5 or something.
Yeah, they should have kept let her keep shooting, in my opinion.
Well, it was a great, they started to, and it was working because they'd stop defending her when they moved to offense because they're like, oh, she hasn't scored more than, whatever, how many points per game. And then she could just step back at the line and hit it. I think the only person that made a three all game was Megan Smith, and she made one.
Callahan made one too.
Oh, okay. So two players each got 1 3.
Yeah.
You can't win basketball games with that.
Like, I mean, you can.
I mean, you get what I'm saying.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. But yeah. Honestly, so that game kind of went in a way that I expected it to, where the defense looked good and where they've struggled all year was the offense, and they showed that in this game, and especially from the freshmen. The freshmen, this was the biggest stage they've ever been on, and it was a lot of pressure. So you could see them really struggling to make shots, and it's hard when your team is so many freshmen because it's not like you can just sit all of them and expect something to happen. You need players like Kanoka out there, players like Megan Callahan, and unfortunately their shots weren't falling.
That was probably the most frustrating part of it all. You'd see them, and it looks like a good shot, and it just, bangs off the back of the rim and flies out.
It will be intriguing next year to see in terms of how the freshmen kind of grow as sophomores. What's the mindset coming back? What's it going to be like without Moraine, Jones, and Smith? And what are these new freshmen going to bring? Because, again, that was the big question mark last year was, what are these freshmen going to do? And it was emphatic how incredible they were.
I mean, they need to have some bigs come in.
And that's the thing. But you also have Ozzie Mamadou on the bench. True. She's going to come out and be phenomenal. You have Nadej that's going to come in and play a Megan Smith type role.
But the thing with her that I like, I'm not completely sold with, is she's the size of the I feel like she's the size of the freshman. It could be just
she's taller.
She is.
Yeah, she's only a little bit shorter than Megan Smith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she just seems small to me.
Yeah.
And I know that's the thing with our team. But I feel like that position you kind of need to be bigger in order to be successful.
You're right. And that's where hopefully Erie comes in. And I mean, they definitely were recruiting bigger players because last year they didn't lose. They just lost guards.
Yeah.
So that's naturally what they brought in.
Yeah.
And so you're right. I mean, I don't know a lot about the recruiting class. I'll have to look into it. Mm-hmm. We can talk on Thursday.
You know what name I haven't heard you mention? Neka Zebo. Is she a junior?
She's a sophomore. She's got two more years. That's why
she's been killing it.
Yeah, yeah. So she played in 28 games, didn't start any of them, and is leading the team in scoring.
Yeah. And here's the thing. She doesn't get a lot of minutes, right? No. Look at her minutes. No. So per 40 minutes, she averages 22.3, which is good for 93rd of the nation, which is pretty good for a big.
Yeah.
Pretty
good for RMU.
Yeah. So you just have to think about that. She's going to get a lot more minutes next year. Her biggest problem, the reason she doesn't get a lot of minutes, is because of her foul trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She'll play these limited minutes and still get 3 or 4 fouls. So really, that'll be the test for her, and that's going to be the test for Robert Morris, is can she stay out of foul trouble?
That's I thought it was crazy. I wasn't able to be at the game, but I watched it on ESPNU. Their defense is insane. Like it was, they were 7th in the nation in points per game allowed, I believe. And then I forget the other categories that they had up, but they were top 30, top 25 in 3 or 4 other categories. Which, I mean, I know we're D1, but like still, like that's big. That's huge. I think for us. I mean, if only our offense was that good, we'd be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. But still, I thought that was crazy that our defense is like, it's not just us saying it's good. Like, it's actually good.
Yeah. All right. So now that we've gotten through this, let's talk about the upcoming matchup here. So they're playing Drexel Friday. Time to be determined. This Drexel team is good. They're 26-7 on the season. They went 16-2 in conference play. Again, record just like Robert Morris's. The only difference is their conference is way better. The Colonial Athletic Association, yeah. The CAA, mm-hmm. a lot better. Again, very similar to Robert Morris. They average 63.7 points per game and allow 55.3. So you're talking about two of the best offenses in the nation.
New defenses?
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. So I'm actually going to look up. I'm very curious to see in terms of where each of them rank.
Drexel is 51 and Robert Morris is 131.
Let's see. I think he's talking about defense.
Yeah, I'm talking about defense.
I thought you were talking just at overall, like in the whatever ranking.
Oh, you're talking about RPI.
Yeah, I guess.
So think about this. Robert Morris has the 9th best defense in the nation. They average allow 54 points per game.
Right.
Drexel has the 14th best defense, allowing 55.3.
They're also playing harder teams.
Exactly. So you could really, realistically, either put Drexel above or on the same level as Robert Morris, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. So, because the thing is that, you know, if I'm Drexel and I'm sitting there and I see, oh, Robert Morris really struggles against a full court press.
Full court press all game.
All game. Because you can build a lead and then never look back.
I mean, you think, like, how many teams have we played, especially in NEC play, where they'll full court press for, like, the first quarter, yep. first half maybe, and then they stop. And it's like, well, it was working. And then we go up and put, you know, 20 up in the third quarter and win by 15. Like, how?
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. So this is the interesting thing, I think. So because both teams are, you know, kind of defensive-oriented, mm-hmm. you could see a close game throughout because even though, you know, one may be shutting down the other may just not be able to score, you know? Because, again, I know Drexel's playing better teams, but they're still only putting up 63 points per game.
Right.
Which, again, if you scored 63, if you allowed 63 points per game, you would still, it'd be good for, like, not even a top 100 defense.
Hmm.
So
It's going to be a good game. I think it'll be very, very tough on our team, but I think it's going to be a good one. Even though I think, I mean, Drexel is set, like, I think they're the favorite to win this one.
Well, I mean, naturally, because, you know, yeah. But, hey, I will say Robert Morris men's basketball did defeat Drexel men's basketball in the regular season.
Well, I mean, don't forget to... Robert Morris and Drexel are two common opponents, and I believe that Robert Morris has beat the common opponents better than
really. Who Drexel are the two has. Common opponents? Do you know?
Hold on, let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, Lafayette and Delaware State.
Okay.
So, I mean, Robert. Well, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good game regardless. Because I think the two teams are very similar. But we'll just have to see who comes ready to play.
Yeah. I will say that the one advantage is it seems like this is Drexel's 4th consecutive appearance in the NIT. So this is not a new environment for them. And it's a home game for them. And they're 15-1 at home and had the regular season CAA title.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very good team. And there's a reason Robert Morris drew them is because their RPI is, what, you said 51?
Yeah, their 51 were 131.
Yep. So, definitely just a thought.
So, what seed is Robert Morris then?
Here? Realistically?
They're not in the top. Like, if you look at the bracket...
They're in one of the bottoms, though, because I would consider Drexel a one. They're going to be one of the top seeds that did not make the tournament.
I don't know. I saw the bracket either this morning or last night or something like that, and it didn't have, like, you know how when two come together, like, it's usually the higher.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one versus whatever, and then usually it's like if it's 1 and 16. It's
they do a lot of adjusting based on location as well.
Because they're not, like, it's like, it's... Drexel and RMU are the bottom of like that
two
piece. So that's the only reason
it's,
I didn't.
Yeah,
so I.
But they also don't have numbers attached to them.
So yesterday I broke down the teams
mm-hmm.
in terms of I found out the top five seeds in every like region per se mm-hmm. based on RPI. Drexel would be a one.
Okay.
And Robert Morris would be a 16.
Okay.
Just because their RPI is so low.
But it's not. It's not. I wouldn't say it's the same 1 versus 16
no,
as like
not,
an RMU and UConn.
Not in any stretch because there's a
Saint
lot more
Francis
parity between, you know, 51 and RPI and 130
yeah.
than there is between, you know,
one
and yeah. And that's something really important to note mm-hmm. is, you know, 15 seeds have beat 2 seeds and there's such a huge disparity in those ranks. And so this really isn't a big difference in terms of what's possible for an upset win.
Hey, I mean, proven on our very campus years before.
Oh, don't say it.
RMU in Kentucky.
Oh, hey, can we talk about something really brief and how sad it is?
Yes.
I know that if anyone ever heard this, they'd be mad I said this. But, all right, so, you know, Robert Morris men's basketball could be playing in, you know, the NCAA tournament right now or the NIT or anything if they'd had a good year. Instead, on March 19th, they will be watching the RMU-Kentucky game at the All-Star Sports Bar with Andy Toole commentary. Is that not the definition of, like, living in the past?
Move on.
It's like when the Cleveland Indians fans watch Major League because they need to see their team win a championship. That's a real thing. They get together every year and watch it.
It's just, like, yes, it's arguably the best thing that has happened to our school sports-wise. Yes, it was a big moment. But, like, at the same time...
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Focus. If there's anything to focus on the future. Try to make that not the best moment anymore.
Right? That's the thing, is be like, no, like, we don't want to talk about that in, you know, 10 years.
Yeah. Like, look at it as in, like, oh, that was the first thing, but here's all, what we've done since then.
Hey, St. Francis drew UConn for the first
Thank
round.
Goodness. I hope they get smoked.
Crapped on.
Think it'll be a... Will it be any better than our game?
Yes, because Kovach can score. That's going to be the only reason. She'll put in some buckets. That's it.
March 17th, 11 a.m.
Oh, boy. Guess what? I'm not going to be watching.
No, I'll be watching it.
I hope to be watching our men's hockey team take on Mercyhurst.
Who would have thought?
Bang bang.
That
hockey.
That
oh,
like RMU men's hockey would have been at the end of spring break would have been the most successful out of all the teams.
I'm so pleasantly surprised.
We can go back and listen because none of us had any faith in men's.
No.
Out of everything, we're like the men's team's gonna fall out and not even do anything.
It's yeah, like, and then we're like, oh, women's hockey's and women's basketball is definitely going to win.
Also, women's
so
hockey.
Much.
So I looked at the Frozen Four after the fact, and Mercyhurst lost to Clarkson in overtime 2-1.
Yeah, it was a close game.
And then Ohio State, I think, did they beat Clarkson or did...
I didn't see.
I don't know if they've... Did they play? I don't know if they've played yet.
They might not have played yet, but like Ohio State won their game. So essentially, you know, we beat Ohio State. Did we beat or tie Clarkson?
We tied Clarkson 2 years ago, and then Colgate's in there, which we tied Colgate.
Clarkson was last year.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean.
So not this year, year before.
Essentially, you know, Robert Morris University could be in the championship game right now. But,
you know.
That Clarkson Mercer's game, though, that was a really good game.
Was it?
Yeah. But, I mean, again, it's Wisconsin and Colgate. Wisconsin will most likely beat Colgate. Mm-hmm. Clarkson's going to beat Ohio State. And then it's a rematch of the national championship from last year.
Yeah.
Intriguing. But
interesting that Boston College didn't do anything considering the year they had.
Yeah, they put up a goose egg against Ohio State. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean,
men's hockey.
And they're hot right now.
I don't think they won. What, 4-0
Friday yeah. Four one.
4-1 Friday night. And then 5-1
Yeah.
9-2 goal spread over two games against the 3 seed.
You know who's been phenomenal?
Who?
Marat.
Yes.
He has.
Marat has been absolutely.
Thank goodness. I have been waiting all year. Because, I mean, this is. I feel like this is the same goalie we saw at all throughout last season.
And you know what's interesting here is it's potentially setting up for a rematch in the championship game of Air Force Robert Morris.
Yeah. I hope we destroy them.
You know who else has been good, and not so much a person, but a line? Robert Morris is, I think, second line. Mantuano
and Lynch.
Lynch.
And Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah, that line. And again, I've been stressing this all year, is it can't just be that Tonge, Fergie, Moore line, which is a great line. And, you know, again, Ferguson, when he scores 3 or more points, it's almost like a guarantee that they win.
Yeah.
You need more depth. You can't rely on that game in, game out.
Yeah, and Luke Lynch had, I only saw this for the second game, but he had a goal and an assist.
And so did Graham. Graham had a goal in both the games.
Well, that sophomore class, I think, is finally starting to come together.
Which is good, because they're going to need that, especially next year when Fergie leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
I'm so happy.
It's always these years. You know what? Robert Morris never goes to the NCAA tournament when they're a top seed. It's always the years that they have a bad start. They kind of group themselves together and they make a run. And that to me is hockey, is getting hot at the right time.
To quote Super Bowl center Jason Kelce, hungry dogs run faster.
Man, he's...
Ah! Great. I was actually thinking about that like since yesterday. I wanted to make that quote because I saw it and I was like, oh boy, here comes the 6 seed. We are the RAT of the RAT.
We're the 7 seed. Please don't.
Sorry.
Please make us more of an underdog.
Yeah.
That's important. Because remember when we were all like, RAT1 is a 5 seed? Like, oh, that's not possible. And we're like, yeah, that's right. 7 seed.
Yeah.
Boom.
And we're not even at home.
Boom.
Yeah, you also have to remember too, like, separating 1 and 7 was like 4 points.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like this was the year that you were going to see a lower seed. I mean, like, look at American International. They almost beat Canisius. They took them to the last game. And first off, American International won their first series in program history this year. And then they almost made it to the semifinal, which is crazy because they're a Division III school for everything else. Their Twitter account's very sad. But yeah, I mean, so much parity.
So what, it's us playing Mercyhurst, and Mercyhurst is the 1 seed?
Yep. And then it's Canisius versus Air Force.
And they're, what, 2-4?
Yep. So it's going to be good.
Oh, I'm so excited. I really hope I can go this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love women's basketball, but there's nothing like men's hockey.
Yep.
It's going to be a rough and tough
So what's the key? All right, if they need to beat Mercyhurst. And, you know, is this really like their championship right here? Is this going to be their toughest matchup?
I think so.
Because I'd argue Air Force will be there. Because, you know what, they've struggled more against Air Force this year than they beat Mercyhurst twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But, you know what, again, you can't. It's hard. You don't want to say one's the toughest matchup because you don't want to sell any of these short.
No.
You know, and the thing that's really hard with the semis is it's one game. And I think that's what Coach Schooley is going to be preaching, is he's going to be, guys, look, you know.
Everything.
You got to win one game. That's it. It doesn't matter what happened the rest of the year. It doesn't matter how many times you lost in those series. You just got to go out and play these two good games.
One game at a time.
Yeah.
These four teams are the teams of Atlantic hockey right now.
Hot take, man.
I mean, no, I mean, not. I mean, not like that. I mean, like, overall. Like, I mean, we're the 7 seed, but I still consider us to be.
I don't know if I. Well, yeah, I'd consider Canisius the team right now.
Canisius, because they were
the one last year.
Yeah, and I don't think they were ranked at all, but they got a lot of votes. Like, if another
and they made it to the semis last year, they're going to be hungry for RMU too. Whichever team gets Robert Morris is really going to be fired up.
When we beat Mercyhurst,
I'll tell you what, I didn't see any of the Mercyhurst games or the Canisius games, but that the Air Force games. Now that you mentioned that, Sam, that those were, I don't know, they were. It was a very hard hitting game. It's gonna be blood's gonna be boiling. But I'll tell you what. The key to the game, I don't think it's not going to be, again, it's not going to be any one person. It's going to be that second line. I think Barat has found a groove, and he's gonna pull his part. You know, the stars are like the seniors are gonna pull their parts, but it's going to be up to the younger guys to kind of step up and make a name, not make a name for themselves, but show the world what they have.
Here's something interesting. All right. So I'm looking up stats for Atlantic Hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring margin.
Mm-hmm.
Guess which four teams are the top four in scoring margin?
I'm going to say Canisius, Air Force, Mercyhurst, and RMU.
Mm-hmm. Like, unbelievable. And they're all two. Mercyhurst and Air Force are at 0.5, and Canisius and RMU are at 0.4.
I mean, I think the only reason that we are a 7 seed and not, honestly, the two or even like a 2 or 3 seed is that we kind of like fell apart a little bit towards the end of the season. And honestly, I'm fine with that because they're not falling apart now. And that's all that matters. Like they did what they had to do. They got in and they got hot. And now they just have to stay hot for 2+ games.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the biggest play here is the defense, because we know the offense can score. We're being shown that they are starting, if not already have the depth. Marat has been on fire, so you just need your defense to kind of get out there and limit those shots, take away the puck, get it up to your offense, let them do their thing. Because I think one of the biggest issues that they had this season was the loss of Rob Mann. And that leader role from the defense.
Also a big guy role.
Yeah, a large human being.
Oh, my.
The Zdeno Chara of Robert Morris men's hockey.
Yeah?
What do you think, Sam? What's the biggest key to Robert Morris' success?
Barat, 100%. When he's cold, this team does not respond because they get down and they play out of their style. I mean, we've all seen it where, you know, Air Force puts on a quick goal, and all of a sudden, that's the final score is 1-0. But the fact that, you know, Murat just couldn't get settled in, I think in all these games, that first period's everything. Because Robert Morris has scored first in almost all of these games. And so they need to continue that trend, and they need to come out firing, because Mercyhurst is going to come out firing. Mercyhurst has the best offense in Atlantic Hockey. They score almost another goal per game ahead of Robert Morris. They're going to come out firing, and that's going to come down to Marat, because he made some absolutely ridiculous saves during the tournament so far, and he's going to need to do more of that if they want to win. And, you know, and for lack of a better comparison, he needs to be like what Tim Thomas was for the Boston Bruins back when they won in 2011, which was everything, you know,
just not a terrible person in the locker room,
you know, or, you know, quitting because you want to spend more time with your family, but you'll be back next year, it's fine,
and then come back 2 years later and surprisingly not get a spot.
I know, it's like, ah, oh. But yeah, all right, I digress from that, a little triggered, but yeah, all right, so we have 4 minutes left.
I think there's something we have to discuss.
What is that?
It's a sport we don't normally discuss.
Men's lacrosse.
Men's lacrosse being a school record 17.
They're the new women's hockey.
They're the new women. They're like,
and the thing is that they played. So they played number 18 Marquette.
Uh huh.
Dominated them.
Yeah.
12-2. And this is a Marquette team that allowed an average of 7 goals per game. Robert Morris put up 7 in the first half. Yeah,
and the week before they beat number 15 Penn State, who is now unranked, but ranked,
and they had almost beat number 8 Rutgers.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season,
and Penn State last year was ranked number 1 in the country for a while. Like, yeah. These are good teams that we are going out and beating, big name teams. Like, everybody knows who Penn State is. Everybody knows who Rutgers is. Everybody, I mean, for the most part, knows who Marquette is. That's mostly because of basketball, but.
Yeah, their wins have come against Bellarmine, which isn't any, which is not a good win. But then, Penn State, High Point, Marquette, and now you go into conference play. You know, you play two more non-conference games against Canisius and against Cleveland State. But besides that, it's Sacred Heart, Mount St. Mary's, Bryant, Hobart, Canisius, Cleveland State, Wagner, St. Joe's. Your hardest one's going to be Bryant, and Bryant's at home. So that's a big plus.
Where is Hobart?
Hobart is Geneva, New York. Hmm. Yeah. They take whoever they can in men's lacrosse because there's not a lot of teams.
No, St. Joe's is in NEC. Like,
but it's always disappointing that their season ends right when we leave.
Yeah, because like, nobody ever gets to see the tournament.
Yeah. So, but hey, I might be around this year. I'll see. But yeah, they also consistently have a game at 1 o'clock on April 21st.
Really?
Is that Saturday?
That is. Yeah, I know. It's a. They have it every year right around that time.
Oh no, that's the Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
The most super of Saturdays.
It's a Saturday before finals.
I know. Oh. Yeah, I know. They could be studying.
Why?
I know, dude. That's terrible.
That's so.
It's a day wasted, if you're asking me.
So we haven't entered NEC play yet, obviously. But looking at their season and the 2 months that they have before we depart, and they have the NEC tournament. Where do we finish?
I think second. I want to see more before I say they're going to win it.
Okay.
But they're definitely, I mean, they've proven enough that they're going to be a top three team in that conference.
Is Sacred Heart their next game?
Yes.
Yes, that I think is going to be the.
I think that'll be a win.
Well, right now, I don't know Sacred Heart, who they've played out of conference. But Sacred Heart is 4-3, and they're the only other team that's over 500 currently. It's RMU, Sacred Heart, Mount St. Mary's at 3-4. Hobart and Wagner at 2-4, Bryant at 2-5, and St. Joe's at 1-3.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you won't be able to tell for sure until conference play.
No.
So, we'll start seeing on next week. But unfortunately, this is all the time we have. Will, I know. Be strong.
Oh, all that men's lacrosse I wanted to talk about.
Hey, man. When they win the national title, all right. You heard it here first. You'll wish you had talked more about it.
I know nothing about. Lacrosse. I'm gonna have to
do some research. Yeah. All
right. What does RV stand for?
I have no clue.
Because it's next to for the Georgetown game.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Reverend Georgetown.
Look it up.
I will. All right. Do that.
But on that note, this is Sam Anthony signing off. Mrs. Ference, I love you.
Oh, is that my turn?
Yes.
This is Sam Ference, actuary, signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
And this is Will Camilleri signing off. I have no idea what RV means. Nothing's.
Are you still Googling it?
Yes.
Well, hopefully Will figures it out. He's got his life figured out, so that's good. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Go, go Phillies. Go.
Pittsburgh Pirates suck, but go Pens.
Go Flyers.
Flyers always blow it against the Pens. That's all I'm going to say.
That's not true. No.